بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين والعاقبة للمتقين والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا محمد سيد الأنبياء والمرسلين وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين. Respected elders, dear brothers and sisters, dear visitors, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Every now and then, a discussion, sometimes a controversy, arises regarding something to do with Islam and or Muslims. At times, it may be based on a misunderstanding of our faith. At other times, its objective may be to spread fear and mistrust or hatred of Muslims. There are also instances when this discussion or controversy may be caused by our own actions or the actions of other Muslims. Sometimes it may be a combination of all of these. As a community, we have a responsibility to respond accordingly and to respond appropriately. So when it has to do with our rights or the rights of others, we should stand up and speak out in defense of those being wronged. When it's a matter of haters and Islamophobes trying to spread hate and create discord, we need to denounce them and expose them. When it's a misunderstanding, we should clear that misunderstanding. And when it's due to our own actions and those of others who share our faith, we must confront these issues and educate one another and work towards ensuring that it does not continue. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم يا أيها الذين آمنوا كونوا قوامين بالقسط شهداء لله. O you who believe, stand out firmly for justice as witnesses to Allah. وَلَوْ عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِكُمْ أَوِ الْوَالِدَيْنِ وَالْأَقْرَبِينَ إِنْ يَكُنْ غَنِيًّا أَوْ فَقِيرًا فَاللَّهُ أَوْلَىٰ بِهِمَا. Even though it may be against yourselves, so stand out firmly for justice as witnesses to Allah, to God, even though it may be against yourselves or your parents, or your kin, be he rich or poor, Allah is a better protector to both than you. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala clearly tells us that if we find any type of injustice, if we find anything that is wrong, we must stand up firmly for justice as witnesses to Allah, regardless of whether it's against ourselves, our parents, our friends, our kin, people who we care for, against the rich or the poor. Regardless, as a Muslim, we have a responsibility. As Muslims, we have the responsibility to stand out for justice. Now, you may have noticed, in the past week or so, there is a lot of discussion in the media and in our community with regards to honor killings. And it is the idea that the killing of a family member is done by members of a family to bring back any type of honor that may have been lost by an action committed by a particular family member. And these crimes, these killings, are supposedly done to protect the honor of the family. And the term associated with this is honor crimes or honor killings. Again, the idea is that when a woman or a girl is involved in something that brings shame upon the family needs to restore their honor by killing the woman or the girl. And the general misunderstanding is often that this has something to do with Islam. This misunderstanding is further perpetuated by the fact that some of these crimes, that we hear about are committed by Muslims. Now, you might be thinking, why are we talking about this in Canada? Right, we live in a civilized society, we're in Canada, we left these things back home, why are we talking about this today? But the sad fact is that there have been instances where such crimes have been committed and the perpetrators have either admitted it or have been found guilty right here in North America by Muslims. To be clear though, to be very clear, this practice, this barbaric practice, is by no means limited to Muslims. Such crimes have been committed by people of other faiths, even here in Canada. The penal codes of many non-Muslim countries, so for example, Argentina, Venezuela, Peru, Ecuador, allow for partial or complete use of a defense of honor. And this is according to a report by the United Nations in 2002. In England, provocation, code word for adultery, was a legal defense for men who killed their wives until 2009. So this is only 2 years ago that this was changed. A 2004 report on honor-based violence in Greece, financed by the European Union, identified groups at risk of honor crimes in Greece, and among them were the Romas, who are majority Orthodox Christian in Greece, immigrant women from countries like Bulgaria, Romania, and Poland, and of course Muslim women as well. We must be very clear in understanding that this barbaric practice occurs in many cultures and cannot be traced back to Islam. At the same time, we accept that such practices are committed by Muslims too, and are in fact established in the culture of some predominantly Muslim societies, which is totally unacceptable. Our position must be very, very clear. Our position as Muslims, as Muslim leaders, as educators, as parents, must be very, very clear that Islam does not sanction violence, domestic violence, and especially not murder. And in fact, you know, I'm sometimes asked about honor killings in Islam. And it's really frustrating because there is really no such thing in Islam, right? I ask you to find me one Islamic, you know, classical religious text that talks about family members killing other family members who do something considered dishonorable. It just doesn't exist. In fact, one of the major practices of the days of ignorance, so before the advent of Islam or before the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, peace and blessings be upon him, was made a prophet by Allah. Before that, one of the major practices that Islam got rid of once Islam came along was the practice of burying infant girls alive. Islam stopped that. And this practice that we are talking about today, honor killing, is similar. Because if you think about it, you know, why are girls singled out? Now, have you ever heard of a family killing their son in an honor killing? No, girls are being singled out. And this is very, very similar to the practice of the days of ignorance when infant girls were buried alive. That's not to say that, of course, that boys should be killed too. No. What I'm saying is that honor killing should not exist, not for girls, not for boys, not for anyone. Because it is a practice of deep, deep ignorance. Right? It brings back memories of these days of Jahiliyyah, the days of ignorance before Islam. And this practice should not even occur to a Muslim mind. This practice and such barbaric practices should not even occur to a Muslim's mind. And here's why, I'll explain. First of all, for a believer, murder is totally off limits. Right? It's one of the most serious crimes that a person can commit. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, وَمَنْ يَقْتُلْ مُؤْمِنًا مُتَعَمِّدًا فَجَزَاؤُهُ جَهَنَّمُ خَالِدًا فِيهَا وَغَضِبَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَلَعَنَهُ وَعَدَّ لَهُ عَذَابًا عَظِيمًا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala uses the strongest of words when he says, and whoever kills the believer intentionally, his recompense is hell to abide therein, and the wrath and the curse of Allah are upon him, and a great punishment is prepared for him. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us all. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also talks about the qualities of the believers, and he goes through different qualities that a believer should possess. and among them, and things that a believer should not be involved in. And among them, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَالَّذِينَ لَا يَدْعُونَ مَعَ اللَّهِ إِلَٰهًا آخَرَ وَلَا يَقْتُلُونَ النَّفْسَ الَّتِي حَرَّمَ اللَّهُ إِلَّا بِالْحَقِّ. And those, meaning the believers, are those who invoke not any other God along with Allah, nor kill such persons as Allah has forbidden, except for just cause. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala goes on and says, the torment will be double to him on the day of resurrection, and he will abide therein in disgrace. Now, the word that some of you might have picked up is except for just cause. Let it be very clear that killing a girl or a woman, or anyone for that matter, for having an affair, for having a relationship with someone, for having a boyfriend, for not wearing the hijab, and the list goes on and on and on, as dishonorable as they may be considered to be, is not just cause. Let that be very clear. Okay? None of these things are considered to be just cause. So murder is an extremely serious crime. It is haram, right, to the severest degree, cannot be justified in any way, especially for girls who are under the care of their parents. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam has given us beautiful examples. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam never hit anyone. And this is according to his wife, Aisha radiallahu anha. Let alone kill. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam never hit anyone, not a servant nor a woman, unless it was in battle. And this again is according to his wife, Aisha radiallahu anha. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam repeatedly emphasized kind treatment of women. Repeatedly. In the Quran as well, we read Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says regarding the relationship between spouses, between husband and wife, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala instructs the men, وَعَاشِرُوهُنَّ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ, and live with them in a ma'roof way. Live with them in a good way. Live with them in a proper way. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam also gave advice to men. Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu reports, قَالَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمُ اِسْتَوْسُوا بِالنِّسَاءِ. The Prophet, peace and blessings be upon him, said, I urge you to treat women well. And again from Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, أَكْمَلُ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ إِيمَانًا أَحْسَنُهُمْ خُلُقًا وَخِيَارُكُمْ خِيَارُكُمْ لِنِسَائِهِمْ. That the believer with the most complete faith, the believer with the most complete faith is the one with the best character. And the best of you is who? And the best of you is the one who is best to his woman. In his farewell sermon, so when the Prophet ﷺ gave his last sermon of his life, he emphasized a number of important things which are important for us to know, which were important pieces of advice. And among them, he said, فَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ فِي النِّسَاءِ وَاسْتَوْصُوا بِهِنَّ خَيْرًا. Do treat, you know, fear Allah when it comes to the treatment of your woman. Do treat your woman well and be kind to them. So kind treatment of everyone, but especially women and children, has clearly been enjoined by the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Now, of course, honor is also an important Islamic value. But it is something that ultimately comes from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Right? Allah says in the Quran, قُلِ اللَّهُمَّ مَالِكَ الْمُلْكِ تُؤْتِي الْمُلْكَ مَنْ تَشَاءُ وَتَنْزِعُ الْمُلْكَ مِمَّنْ تَشَاءُ وَتُعِزُّ مَنْ تَشَاءُ وَتُذِلُّ مَنْ تَشَاءُ بِيَدِكَ الْخَيْرِ إِنَّكَ عَلَى كُلِّ شَيْءٍ قَدِيرٌ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to say, O Allah, possessor of the kingdom, you give the kingdom to whom you will, and you take the kingdom from whom you will, and you endue with honor whom you will, and you humiliate whom you will. In your hand is the good. Verily, you are able to do all things. So any honor that comes to us comes from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Any dishonor also comes from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yes, honor is associated with things that are commendable. Dishonor is associated with things that are forbidden or things that are disliked or reprehensible. Therefore, we should try to be good examples for our children. We should worry about our children's proper upbringing, their Islamic education, their Islamic morals, to make sure that we give them a good, healthy environment, a good, healthy social environment. We instill good morals into them. We have a good relationship with them. Right? All of these things should be and must be a top priority for all of us. But any humiliation or dishonor certainly cannot be made up through murder and killing. That in itself is dishonorable and shameful, because it is something that is prohibited and reprehensible. Now, some Muslims may try to find justification through Islamic teachings, and some others may also try to link this horrible practice with Islam in the same way. And to do that, they cite verses and ahadith, the sayings of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that have to do with cases of adultery and fornication, which is similar to the biblical references to adultery. Now, there's a number of flaws with this approach, and I'll just go through a couple of them. And these flaws, actually, they highlight the danger of cherry-picking rulings from single verses and single sayings of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So, number one, any instructions regarding any type of punishment cannot be carried out by private individuals. This should be very clear. They cannot be carried out by private individuals, and rather they must be done by an established authority who has permission to carry out sentences under the law of the land. Okay, so you can't just flip open a religious text and find out, hey, such and such person is supposed to get this punishment, so I'm going to go and carry out that punishment. You can't do that. Why? Because if everyone starts doing that, then there will be anarchy, and anyone could become the victim of vigilantes, which is not allowed, because innocent people will be hurt and will be killed, as we're seeing today. Plus, on top of that, it must be very, very clear that we, as Muslims, we are obliged to follow the law of the land in which we are in. Okay, so even if we assumed that you could go out and carry out whatever punishment you want, even though you can, but let's just assume that you could, even then, you are subject to the laws of the land, and you can't be doing illegal things. You know, you can't be breaking laws, whether they're laws about, you know, criminal acts, whether they're laws about fraud, whether they're laws about cheating, and so on and so forth, lying on your tax returns. We talked about this before. You can't do that as a Muslim. That's wrong. You can't do that. It's dishonest, and you can't be breaking the laws of where you're living. And there's no two ways about that. So that's number one. Number two, and this is an interesting point as well. At the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, you know, it was what we think an ideal society, but at the same time, people used to commit crimes, right? People used to commit zina, right? Illegal intercourse. And there were women who were involved in such things at that time. And guess what? None of their families killed them. Okay, if this was something that was encouraged or something that was a part of Islam, then most certainly at the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the families would have been encouraged to kill these women. But guess what? That did not happen. Okay, that did not happen. Why? Because it was forbidden. Because it is forbidden. You can't do that. We've got to understand that the laws, religious rulings, and so on, are deduced from the entire package of divine guidance and traditions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They're not, you know, made up or deduced just by looking at one verse or just looking at one hadith. Rather, you got to look at the entire compendium of teachings. And on top of that, the circumstances and the situation has to be taken into account. That's why you need religious scholars. That's why you need jurists. That's why you need muftis who actually consider all of that and then give a ruling. Not just flip open a book, pick out a verse, and act upon it. Now, that's not to say that committing zina is not serious, or that, you know, our children should be given a free pass to commit haram, or that we should condone anything that's haram. But what we do need to do is to take a proactive and wise approach. So be realistic. Right? Be realistic. Know the pressures and the temptations that your children are facing. Discuss with your children the changes that they're going through. And the masjid, the mosque, has a role in this too, right? And that's why we're starting to try to have programs for youth, right? Trying to develop positive relationships, trying to have an open relationship where youth feel free to ask questions and ask things that are on their mind. But the main thing to be is to be open and prioritize, right? Don't create your own stiff regulations, things like, you know, your child has to marry a cousin who's a doctor in your village or whatever. You know, be flexible about these things. And if they tell you that they're, you know, interested in marrying someone or have approached someone for marriage, you know, maybe it's a Muslim from a different culture or something like that. Don't treat it like it's the end of the world. Don't treat it like it's the end of the world. Yes, it may not be the ideal that you've dreamed of, right? But it's a lot better than many other choices that they can make. And if there are greater problems, if there are other problems, if there are greater problems, then seek help and seek guidance. There are people who are willing to help. That's why we're here, right? We're here so that you can come, talk to us in confidence, so that we can give you whatever advice seems appropriate at that time. So, keep things in perspective. And if despite your reasonable and sincere efforts to offer the best guidance to your family members, whether you know it's your daughter, your son, your spouse, whoever, if they don't take your advice, right, if they don't listen to whatever guidance you're offering to them, if they don't take heed and do something which you consider to be dishonorable or shameful, know that you've done your job. Your responsibility is to do your job. Your responsibility is not to, you know, force people to comply, right? Your responsibility is not to hurt someone, to use violence to make sure that they conform. No, you try your best. You try your best in a wise way, in a reasonable way. And if after that, if someone doesn't listen to you, if they don't take heed, then and if they do something which you know is considered to be dishonorable or shameful, know that you've done your job. And you will not be responsible for what they do, inshallah. And the last thing you should do, the last thing anyone should do, is unlawfully take the life of a loved one and create dishonor for yourself in this world and in the hereafter, when you have to face Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the Day of Judgment. For there is nothing honorable about killing in the name of honor. Therefore, we must keep away from such crimes. We must unequivocally say no to honor killings. And I'd like to end with a verse which is often recited. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ الَّذِي تَسَاءَلُونَ بِهِ وَالْأَرْحَامِ إِنَّ اللَّهَ كَانَ عَلَيْكُمْ رَقِيبًا. Be careful of your duty towards Allah, in whom you claim your rights of one another, and towards the wombs that bear you, right? Towards your kinships, towards your relationships with your family members. Lo, Allah has been a watcher over you. So with that, you know, we make dua, we pray, we supplicate to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protects our children. We pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He guides us and gives us the ability to keep away from such terrible crimes. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He grants forgiveness and paradise to all of those who have been victims of such crimes. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to protect us in our communities. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive all of those who have passed away. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.